We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Djadjawarong country.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 177 of the Beyond 90 podcast. We're getting close to the end of the year, but we're also right in the middle of both the Dub and the WSL seasons. And we've got some international football to talk about as well. And even better, we're back to a Fantastic Four here on this podcast. So joining myself, Eric Subihano, Emma Burke and Majella Card, it's Dale Roots. So first, I think I'll start with you, Dale. You missed last week's pod because you were enjoying drag bingo in Caloundra. So from my first question is, how was that?
It was definitely a cultural experience, put it that way. I did have a few hard solos to get me through the evening's proceedings, but no, it was good fun. Good to see the family. I was up there for essentially our family Christmas with my dearly beloved, but no, it was great.
Yes, good to hear. And it was great to see that you're back as well. Emma, you are very, very delighted about something that we'll get onto later in the podcast. How have you been this week?
Yeah, I mean, aside from being awake at like 3 a.m. last night, because like I was still buzzing, pretty good. It was pretty good. There were some, you know, highs and lows, but it ended on a pretty good high. So, yeah.
It did. We'll get onto that later. And also, Madge, it's been,
polar opposite.
Yes.
From Emma, basically. Yes, I had a beverage and then like cried myself to sleep. So on Sunday, there you go.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this podcast will cheer you up. But yeah, I didn't really know how to approach it having seen the results. But that's football. It we keep coming back, even though it seems to make us miserable most of the time. But someone who definitely does not make us miserable is Matilda's cap 177, Steph Catley. It's great when you don't have to do any research beforehand. Steph made her debut in 2012. She's still going. 121 caps for 5 goals. Shout out to her grassroots clubs, East Bentley and Southeast Cougars. She is a defender, but a defender with one of the silkiest touches you'll ever see in football. Now, we do have a Victorian here on the podcast, so it would be remiss if we did not go to Emma first. Emma, like you... You're not just from the same state as Steph, but basically the same part of Melbourne?
Yeah. Funnily enough, the East Bentley is actually right around the corner from where I live and where I've grown up. I think a mate from high school, actually at her football club, they were visited by Steph when she became like a Victory player. She like did a little, you know, appearance at the club. But yes, no, I've personally been a big fan of Steph from basically as soon as I started watching the women's football, because I started watching at the start of the Canada World Cup in 2015, and Steph was the first player that really stood out to me. So my fave for a long time, and she's the reason that I do somewhat support Melbourne City, because that's where she signed after the Women's World Cup. So yeah, icon, legend of the game. Best left back in the world. Argue with the wall if you disagree. The wall is Steph Catley.
So well said. Love it. Madge, I mean, I don't know, like Steph Catley kind of feels like, well, 121 caps. She belongs to all of us now, given all that she's done for the national team. What do you think of when you think of Steph?
I just think, like, she's just a player that I don't think anyone can dislike. I don't think you could ever find anyone who would go, oh, I can't stand Steph Catley.
Seems impossible.
Yeah, it's not possible. And I mean, she's one of those players that, you know, in our what seems like it's been a lifetime of wondering what to do with our defence, it's like she's such, absolutely agree, best left back in the world. And so... when she hasn't been able to play there, when she's had to like be, you know, put into central defence occasionally, it's always been like, look at what we're losing with her ability to run up the field those beautiful crosses she can put in, the dead ball, free kicks into boxes, and you see it with Arsenal as well now. It's she's just a fabulous player, and by all reports and everything that you see in the way that she handles herself, just seems like an absolutely fabulous human being. So, and corgis. So, she's got a corgi, and that's great in my book.
Yeah, so definitely one of St. Albans' finest residents, Steph Catley. Dale, you got anything to add from those very, very kind words provided by Emma and Madge?
No, I'd have to agree. I mean, I think that she is one of the players that has been around in the system for so long that she kind of belongs to us all now. She's one of ours. I think that we would be a very, very different team without her, and I think that we would be a very different system without her. And, as you said, from all that I've heard, she's a wonderful human being. Have a lot of time for her. She's always been really good in the press, very well spoken, and yeah, good. You know, she's in my opinion, the right person to be vice captain of the Matildas at the moment. So, I have not a bad word to say, as long as she's stays not playing in the dub. Continue to play overseas, please, away from my team and thus not beating them.
Yeah, I think I endorse those sentiments. Even though I don't have a team, I kind of understand. Yes, it's just kind of like she's so good at she can feel like a cheat code. Also, God, I've lost my train of thought. Well, it won't be the last time this podcast. Is she the first Australian women's footballer to be on the cover of a video game, FIFA 16?
I want
to
say yes, because I specifically bought that FIFA because of her on it.
Pretty solid choice. And also, I mean, although I don't have very fond memories of this tournament, I was just thinking of the 2018 Asian Cup final when she was pinned up against the touchline and then promptly retired three Japanese defenders with one Maradona spin. And that's the highlight of a tournament that wasn't great. But yeah, just like a defender that can do stuff like that to Japan, no less. I mean, she tells you everything about her quality, and she is still in it. She's still in her 20s.
Yeah, I think she's 29.
Yeah.
She's 29. Actually, that's right, because she was born on the 26th of January, so her birthday's coming up soon. But we would have, at that age, we can look forward to plenty more of Steph Catley's brilliance. Now, on to the Matildas and their second game against Canada, or at least whatever it is we managed to see of Canada's 1-0 victory over the Matildas, given the broadcast difficulties. I decided I had to prioritize work for once, and then judging from the Twitter timeline, turns out that if I had not prioritized work, I would have seen exactly the same amount of the first half. But I think, Dale, you might go first. I mean, just your thoughts on whatever it was that we saw last week.
I think that after the first result, I think we were kind of like, when we beat Canada at the World Cup, like, we scored first, and Canada's success had always been about preventing the other team from scoring and then kind of nicking one or two, whereas ours had been just go hell for leather, and if we win 5-4, then we win 5-4. But those kind of counteract each other, especially in a match like that had this much significance. I think that we were trying to do things a little bit differently. We weren't kind of like hitting our long diagonals. We were trying to be a bit more controlled. And the difficulty with playing a team like Canada is because they are so compact and so disciplined, and then have such quality through the midfield to play the kind of final pass. We really lacked like a cutting edge in the final third with like really anything in the attacking half. We just looked a little bit out of sorts. But then, I mean, I know it affects the rankings and blah, 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 but like, I think this wasn't really the narrative of this game. I think it was just good for us to kind of see off Sinclair. And yeah, I think the Matildas performance was pretty ho-hum, but I don't think many people will remember this. I think this will be one of the games that will be consigned to the annals of Oz football when you have to go and look up the, you know, who got subbed on in this game, who made their debut in this game, and we'll be here in 10 years talking about this, and, you know, when we're talking about cap 200 odd. But yeah, I think that's a bit of a much for muchness, really. The broadcast, though, man, I felt for Robbie Thompson and Grace Gill, because that was a tough watch.
Yeah, I think these games, they honestly, after such a big and what feels like a very, very long lead up to our home World Cup, these kind of just felt like the letdown after the sugar high, and it's just like, okay, that's the year done. It's like, it's done, like, pack it away, and on to 24, and, you know, back to that sort of competitive football mindset next year. And yeah, like, I think we talked about this a lot last week. This is, you know, probably the only chance that the team have to try something a bit different against a good team as well. So yeah, I mean, not surprising that it wasn't particularly pretty, that it didn't necessarily work out on the scoreboard. But yeah, hopefully the minds who are planning around the team and seeing more than I do in the game have gotten what they needed out of these games. And at the end of the day, you've gotten a lot of minutes into younger legs as well, which probably over the next few windows, I doubt we're going to see, assuming we get past Uzbekistan. We're then going to be basically narrowing down that squad, and it's going to be all about prep for a very, very tight and compact Olympic tournament. So, yeah, it's yeah, it is what it is. And yeah. We've got the joy of seeing Alana Kennedy bombing down the front again, which yes. one day it'll pay off, and it'll be like
Straka Kennedy, let's go. That's how you know it's going really well.
Yeah,
the only thing I have to say is I hope Channel 10 and Paramount or whatever never use that budget satellite that they used, and whoever was in Canada that wasn't like smacking the side of whatever piece of equipment. Hate you yeah. So much.
The truck was obviously parked in the wrong direction.
Yeah, unbelievable. I didn't really mind the game, honestly, but I definitely agree with what you said, Madge, about it being like a sugar crash, because we've just had so much good that it's gotten to this, and everyone's just kind of like, oh, it's like you've fallen off a cliff a bit. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to next year, now that it's finally over. But yeah, obviously congratulations to Christine Sinclair on a huge career, and to Sophie Schmidt as well, who also retired.
Yeah, I like the tweet. Well, I mean, I always like Kieran Yap's tweets. So this is his weekly, this is his first tweet for this episode. But yeah, in his own take on the second game, the Matildas have had a lot of luck with final third passes or quick counterattacks in the last 12 months. In this game, they're trying to learn to play out from the back more. Don't expect perfection in an exhibition, and don't get too stressed if it doesn't work right away. But I think the last part of that's the most important. Like, as I think I've made my feelings very clear on such things like the 7-0 loss to Spain last year, which I had definitely forgotten about by the end of that year. Like, I was just reminded of it recently. Like, as long as it's all going good when it really needs to against Uzbekistan, and then fingers crossed in the Olympic tournament, then people will forget about the results of these two games very quickly. Also, it was also a defeat for the young Matildas. Couldn't make it 2-from-2 against China's under-20s, so a 3-1 loss in the second of their two-game series. But, I mean, it's even more of what we were talking about with the senior team. It's really just about exposing these players to environments so that a few years down the line, they may become senior team players and, you know, established A-League women players. And, of course, wasn't too long ago that players such as Kara Cooney Cross and Mary Fowler were in the young Matildas. So it could happen sooner than you think. Now, on to A-League Women Round 7. So, I think, I'm sorry, Madge, we're going to have to start with Canberra 5, Brisbane 1. And,
oh, no.
Yes, just go.
Although,
yeah. The extent of my analysis is...
Nah, yeah. Yes.
We were cooking. Oh, yes. It was good. Yeah, look, this is the best game that we've played in probably like 5 years, to be perfectly honest. I'm the last time that I can remember Canberra playing a game this complete was would be close to like pre Heather Garriock. We're talking a long, long time ago now.
Ray Dower.
Yeah, we're talking Ray Dower years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Brisbane's biggest problem in this game was that they just didn't want it in the midfield. Mm-hmm. They like every single tackle, Canberra just absolutely smashed them. There were a few times where I think McCormick tried to play the ball into midfield and it might have been to Norrie, and Norrie just got the shit kicked out of her and lost the ball. And then Canberra went up the other end. Brisbane had a few really good chances in this, honestly. They had one cleared off the line in the second half, I believe. And I was in the first half by Emil Ioski. They had another saved on the line, I believe, from Chloe Lincoln. They had a few decent opportunities, but yeah, I think it was also just the Canberra's shooting efficiency was off chops. Kristoffersen's goal was fantastic. Mm. All three of Milivojevic's goals were fantastic. The last goal, she just left Jenna McCormick standing there like a lamppost, to be honest. Mm. And yeah, I also think like scoring super early, like they did, really kind of put a dent in Brisbane's hopes of not necessarily shutting up shop, but playing with a little bit more control. And yeah, I, as I said, the only negative is Milivojevic's potential injury. We don't have any news on that just yet. They did an ACL test on the ground and she walked off under her own steam. Not that that really means anything, but she walked off under her own steam. She looked to tell Aish Nori that it wasn't an ACL when she was on the ground, but I'm not an expert in lip reading. So yeah, I guess we await that. And if she is done with the ACL, that's a real sad outcome because she's been lightning this season. And obviously she's not going to get caught up in the Matildas because she played for another country.
Yes.
But yeah, it would be a real downer for the club, unfortunately.
Yeah. So there was fingers crossed for Vesna, but yes, because we like to talk just to cater for newer fans to the dub. Yes. Vesna Milivojevic, despite being one of my people from Western Sydney, no, we do not have her services at international level. Don't get me started, because based on what she's showing, we've may have missed a trick there, but oh well.
But yeah, I agree with Dal about that, about the midfield. I think that's on our little sort of messenger chat that I had going with friends. It was like you'd think with a midfield of Norrie, Yallop and Palmer, it wouldn't be this overwhelming. And but yeah, they just had no response there, and there was a lot of just, you know, piffing it out to the wings. Sharm Fryer, I think, did her very best. I think she's been great all season, and she was battling on all game. And yeah, then there were some good chances, which, you know, if you put those chances away like Canberra did against us, you then create a bit more pressure, you might create a bit more panic, open the game up a little bit. But I think what's sort of disappointed me the most is that it did not seem like good vibes out on the pitch for Brisbane. I sort of think back to the game a few seasons ago where we lost 7-2 to Adelaide, and it still didn't feel like, it still felt like there were good vibes in the team. So, so there has been a coaching change. So hopefully, it is just teething problems, and we'll see a little bit more cohesion. It's a bit of a grind at the moment, obviously, as they're trying to, gel with a new coach and a new system. But, I think fans do want to see some results a little bit sooner rather than later, given the decent start to the season.
So there's a potential lack of cohesion when you change a coach after four
rounds,
whatever it was.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. We can move on. Also, just to get Emma involved, she did, because she watched Adelaide 1, Western United 3. And yeah, it's, I don't know if you agree with me. I thought Adelaide potentially a little bit unlucky, but it's kind of those things. Western United just clinical, even with Hannah Keane looking like she was having one of those days in front of goal, although she did score at the end.
She did right at the end, but yeah, it definitely looked like she was just having the worst time up until that goal, which was the last play of the game. But otherwise, that game was the Taranto Twin Show.
Yes.
They were all over the place, assisting and scoring. But yeah, congrats to Kat Smith for stepping in and winning her first game as head coach. But yeah, definitely unlucky for Adelaide because they did have quite a few moments where they really should have converted, like sending the ball like just wide or just over. But if anything, they did score a goal. They're still showing signs of life. And I feel like with the late additions that they've had to their squad, I think they might just need a little bit more time. And I guess they kind of have it at least this season because it's a full season. But yeah, Western really westerned it. yeah, but it was a good watch, that one, even though the weather was pretty appalling.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's I'm glad Hannah Keane scored because that open goal miss. She selected power drive when everyone else would have suggested feather touch, and it was she obviously hasn't forgotten how to score goals, so that at the end. Also, Adelaide, I mean, it's great now that Chelsea Dorber's back. It'll be even greater for Adelaide if defenders just keep giving the ball to Chelsea Dorber like Alana Cherner did. So hopefully Alana's good. She'll learn from that. But I just didn't think that would happen. And they were like, oh, Chelsea Dorber has a chance. Oh, Chelsea Dorber scored. Who would have thought?
Right.
Yes.
Give the ball to Chelsea Dorber and then things happen.
Yeah. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's not an instruction manual for the opposition.
No.
Also, on Friday night, Wanderers 3, Mariners 0. Yeah, Wanderers. Despite their own coaching situation at the start of the season, actually looking pretty reasonable and, you know, deserved winners against the Mariners. Also, Sophie Harding has found one of those purple patches. And yeah, that's like when the fastest player on the field also can just has the golden touch in front of goal. Well, yeah, it's pretty hard for the opposition. So, actually shout out to friend of the pod, Megan, because I would have gone to this had I not been out of town, but people have thoughts about Wanderers Football Park, to say the least. So, she sat behind a goal and I wanted to see your fan experience. And she said, she sat behind the goal. It was beer garden vibes without the important element of beer. Especially on a hot summer's evening, 30 plus degrees at kickoff, at the 7 p.m. kickoff. Very disappointing to not be able to purchase alcohol at this venue. There were food vans, to be fair. Apparently, they were quite good. There was a merch van, which we haven't seen before for Wanderers women's matches, but she didn't see it. It's bizarre that they didn't put it in the free space right near the entrance that everyone walks past. But at least, yeah, this sounds about right for a Wanderers home game. But, you know, these things working well on the park. Also, she was delighted to see an Eastern barn owl circling around for you bird fans. And afterwards, she grabbed chicken and chips from the nearby shopping center because there's a chicken treat there now. And I am very excited about these new options. The Wanderers home ground, but of course,
I think Wanderers Football Park is a dry venue, which would be prohibitive for a beer garden.
Ah, it's a dry venue. Ah, well.
I feel it might be a dry venue. The other thing I think about this is bleachers behind the goals, ? Like, just makes sense. You just get the bleachers and then you put them there.
Yes.
Simple.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody has to look into the setting sun.
Yeah, that's right. That was my other thought about it is the fans started because the stand faces the setting sun. So they were getting blasted by the setting sun in the heat.
Yep.
And then because there are no lights on the ceiling of the stand, they finished the game. The fans seem to finish that game in darkness. So it was
sitting in the dark.
Yeah. It's not a great fan experience there. So And like a sucker, I will try and go to as many dub games there as I can because I cannot
Yeah.
help myself. But yes, Wanderers 3, Mariners nil. The best. That won't be the last time we complain about that venue. Also, Melbourne City won Perth 3, so Melbourne City running into the Millie Farrow show. But even though the standard Hannah Wilkinson goal wasn't enough, and yeah, it, I've been wanting this to happen to a while for a while because I'm a big fan of Alex Aparkas, but he has them absolutely flying, and yeah, maybe we can see Perth win what would be their second Premiers play. They've won one before, yeah. Dale's giving me a nod there.
Long way to go just yet. They've
Yes.
won two, I believe. They got beaten in the semi-final and then they lost to Canberra in the grand
Finals,
final, if I recall correctly. But
yes.
there is a long way to go, but he
Canberra.
is, yeah, they're humming at the moment. Also good to see this game played at Preston Lions, Preston Macedonia's home ground, due to Casey Fields being a building site, is my understanding.
Yeah, it's not fully finished, is what the city CEO said.
This is what,
COVID
you know, this is
delayed
Dan
delay.
Andrews' fault somehow.
Yeah.
Dictator Dan has stopped Melbourne City playing at their home ground.
There's someone typing up an impassioned like letter to Dan Andrews.
Neil Mitchell is going to be on 3AW tomorrow complaining about the state of Casey Fields. Impressed with my Victoria knowledge.
I am too,
Yes.
actually. Like that's quite specific.
Thank you. Anyway.
Anyway, let's get it back to football and the other Victorian team we haven't spoken about. Wellington 2, Melbourne Victory 2 at what I think we looks like a very nice venue. It's Jerry Collins Park at Porirua on the outskirts of Wellington. A very frantic opening. And I think, Madge, you saw at least part of this, but yeah.
I saw the first half, which is where when all the goals happened. So
That's smart by you.
So that was pretty good. Yeah, two defenders opening up the accounts for both teams. So Kayla Morrison with a
Australia's own Kayla Morrison.
ooh,
Thank you.
barely, sorry.
Kayla
I need to like get
Yes.
the full title in there. And Kate Taylor sort of equalising for Wellington. So really interesting game. Yeah, back and forth, really entertaining. And then oh, that's right. And then Wellington, like yeah, Wellington were a quick 1-2.
Emma Main.
I can't remember who took the shot, but someone
It's
took
Kelly Brown.
yeah took a good
So.
shot, hit the woodwork, and but yeah, players following in, and again, I don't have the goal scorer in front of me, but really great to see the follow-up off of
Oh,
a great
Correa Ikino for the victory
yes,
equaliser.
Aquino was the
Acute
victory,
angle though. Very nice finish.
and that was their second goal. So yeah, some fun goals, fun game. Yeah, they're two teams that you probably expect to see in the finals, that the way things are going, and assuming that form continues. So yeah, Wellington looking strong by being able to keep a strong victory team to a draw.
And but firstly, my main point, Wellington didn't concede once Mackenzie Barrie got on the park, which I think is very important. But also, I love Wellington's goal celebration gifts. There was Kate Taylor's goal swing, and my new favorite celebration, Emma Main leaning into her nickname of the Main Train by impersonating a train in the Wellington goal celebration gif. And I think she looks kind of awkward, which I think adds to it in some way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I can imagine the discussions. Like Emma's like, "Are you sure? Yeah, just this. Trust me, it's a good idea."
Well, they had the Wayne train
Yeah, that's right. It's that
until
I'm sure
all
that was
that.
explained to us. So yeah, it's
Yeah.
really it's Wellington
I mean, they had one
heritage at this
professional
point.
club in the whole country, so like there's not a lot of memos to go around.
And yeah, it's well, and of course Kelly Brown almost scored a worldie of her own. If that had gone, it would have been party at Kelly Brown's. Now, which game I the my memory's gone again. Ah, yes, the final game I haven't spoken about. Newcastle nil, Sydney FC one, and Courtney Vine off the bench and sneaking a tapping in from pretty much on the goal line right at the end.
And
So
wasn't the league social media happy about that?
yes, they were. And
The most unspectacular goal she could have scored.
Yeah, most un yeah, like
Mate.
yes. So, she actually could have had time to do that thing you do when you're in the park and you want to annoy your mates by heading it in while it's on the ground on the goal line. She did have enough time for that. But
Excellent. more of that in the league, please.
Yes.
And then I would have been impressed. Then I would have been like, then the headlines would have been worth.
Yes, and Courtney Vine takes the piss out of entire city.
Out of her former club, by the way.
And former employers.
Yes. But also, Sydney giving a debut to 16-year-old Maddie Caspers. And like, she did well by all accounts. I do wonder why this league continues to feel the need to play literal children. Because I think Sydney already, from memory, have about 700 central midfielders in their squad. So I don't know. But just if anyone's noticing a difference in my tone from when the Wanderers played kids, Sydney FC have demonstrated that they know what they're doing in this league, at least with this whole never having missed the finals thing. So I'm willing to give them a little bit more leeway. But she did well. Hope it works well for Maddie Caspers, but a bit of a strange one given the depth of the Sydney squad. Now, of course, all me talking about Newcastle Sydney is just a device for me to read out some tweets that caught my fancy over the weekend. So shout out to Twitter user at CatleyStan7. Great name, Emma. But also she's showing her, they're showing themselves to be really bright. After her reactions to Newcastle Sydney, Tori Toomuth, future Matilda's captain, screenshot it, bookmark it, it will happen. Well, at CatleyStan7, I did screenshot it. I did bookmark it. I followed you back as well. And I think that is all great.
But do you have your screenshots ready to go to respond when it happens? And it's like, I was first.
Yes. I don't know what kind of platform we'll have when Tori wears the armband for the Matildas, but I'll find a way of remembering it. Also, a second tweet is like, at CatleyStan7, went to my first A-League women game in the season opener against Wanderers as a fan of Vine Time and came out the biggest Toomuth stand ever. She's enormous. Yes, she is. This is great. If they're listening, I don't know why I keep assuming it's a woman, although I think it is. But if at CatleyStan7 is listening, or if someone can notify her, feel free whenever you want to write for Beyond 90 and write an article about how great Tori Toomuth is. We love that kind of content. So please, if someone could get in touch.
Jesus, bloody Stalin-esque propaganda.
Hey, this is the outlet that once created a series of articles because somebody moved to Norway. Anyway, now, although, by the way, we would have to educate them. Third biggest Toomuth stand behind Lockie Francis, number one. I am number two, but third's still pretty good. Back to actual analysis, or pretending to do that at least. Just the usual dub news and signings. So Wellington have signed Isabel Cox, an American forward. Also, I've got the Maddie Caspers news in the show notes. And the sixth ACL of the season, Marissa Vandermeer, which is very unfortunate. That was on Fern's duty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, I think so.
Oh God. So that kind of leads into further down. UEFA will start an investigation to ACL injuries in women's football, as I put in the Beyond 90 Slack, 25 years too late, but... I think Madge Dale and I on a pod earlier this year discussed this in the ACL issue in great detail. I don't know if Emma's got anything to add, but it was something Madge and I remembered from our childhoods that...
I remember from my feminist studies in university, which was a very, very long time ago when I did an assignment on women's sport, and remember finding the articles at the time that were talking about ACL injuries. Children, it's a very long time ago this was.
Yes, it was. I remember back before we had these crazy little rectangles that we held in our hand and told us everything that was going on in the world. Yeah,
articles from paper journals.
This was just after women had been allowed to vote and get bank accounts. They now are allowed into libraries, and it was all over from there. Yeah, it's.
I had to understand the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, the Dewey! I love the Dewey Decimal System. Emma doesn't want to know any of this about any of this old timey stuff.
Excuse me, I know what the Dewey Decimal System is. I have had to use it. Excuse me. I have gone into the library at my university and used books before. Thank you. Only because they were not available online, and they were like, it's actually
you're pretending to be the most offended here.
They were like on the website, on the little uni website.
They hadn't
like,
been scanned
actually,
into the hadn't been scanned into the electronic journals
two
yet.
floors above you. And I'm like, oh my God, what do you mean I have to go up two floors like to get these books? No, I know what the Dewey Decimal is.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh well.
Where was it? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, even not really being a big women's sports person in my childhood, even then I knew women were more prone to this. And so when I started getting into women's football, I was like, oh, they haven't done any research on this? Ugh. Oh,
no.
Well, like, fine. Well, let's
yeah, shocking.
They, well, what is it? The best time to plant a tree?
Yes, 20
years
ago.
20 years ago, the second best time is now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Something.
I mean, this, as you like to continue the metaphor, like we need to leave the cruciate ligament for our children's and their children to sit under and enjoy the shade. So,
yes.
I'm doing my best. I trust UEFA about as far as I can throw them, but their technical stuff and FIFA's technical stuff is pretty good, like in terms of the analysis of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kind of trends analysis. So, like, as you say, Madge, you know, better late than never. He says through gritted teeth.
My only opinion on ACLs, I've said it before and I will say it again. We as a species need to evolve it out.
Ah, yes.
No more ACLs. We need to develop something new. Like, this is a massive structural flaw in the human design. So, stop making appendixes smaller. And get on this ACL rubbish. Get rid of it. No more. Do something.
Yeah.
I am now furiously Googling mammalian knee design to see if this is a common problem across mammals.
Yes.
we're doing groundbreaking research for this podcast.
Are kangaroos doing their ACL?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where my mind went. It's like,
where are the I think friend of the pod's Samantha Lewis's dog had a knee reconstruction. So
that's who it was. I was like, I'm sure I know someone whose dog.
What animal has the least knee injuries? And
I'd say fish, probably.
Okay, what animals with limbs, Dale?
That's not very progressive of you, Eric. I don't know. I mean, like, it's a common flaw. We need to be, how do we make this work? I don't know.
I feel like sloths would have very few ligament injuries simply because they don't move fast enough for anything to
I feel like they might have, like, frozen shoulder, though.
Hanging injuries.
yeah. Yes.
I'm pretty sure their real injuries really come frozen, from them. Though? They mistake their arms for tree branches, so they grab their own arms and then fall to their deaths.
Yes.
So maybe we don't want to emulate them.
No.
There has to be an animal out there that we can look at.
We'll work on this. Like, we'll forward our recommendations to Mr. Chefferin at UEFA.
Yep. I'm sure they'll listen to this.
I'm sure they'll be pleased to hear from us.
It's sound research.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. There are too many ligaments. Please eliminate three.
Oh, yeah. Like one really strong ligament. That's what that would... That,
yeah.
You know what? I reckon emus. What's going on in an emu knee? Because
that's a good shout.
They're dashing, they're darting, they're running.
They're moving in all directions very quickly. They're not going backwards.
They are speedy.
Good shout.
This is good, Madge.
Get that out you later.
We'll keep going down that rabbit warren.
Yes. Okay.
They want a war for a reason.
It was actually good that someone other than me took the pot on a ridiculous tangent for once. Also, I should have more solidarity with Madge, but it was also nice to see someone else getting roasted for their age. So it's...
Well, I should be the one on this pod that gets it the most, but yes.
Yeah. Hey, back to football. I was... Yeah, well, I'll skip over the new Champions League format because it's complicated. It's definitely different to what we're used to, maybe in a later pod. But yeah, it's intriguing. Also, but the launch of a second tier European club competition for women does intrigue me. Link in the show notes, both of those things starting in the 2025-26 season. Now on to, basically, I just wanted to do a vibe check of all of us because we have three World Cup 2027 bids on the table. Belgium, Netherlands, and Germany is one. Then Brazil is the other one. And a joint United States-Mexico bid being the third one. So... Emma, like, you can go first. Just your thoughts on those three.
My thoughts was immediately Googling for the Belgium, Netherlands, and Germany bid on how to eat gluten-free in all of those countries because I am a celiac. And then looking at Brazil and being like, oh, I don't really need to do too much there because they like meat and they like corn. And I love those things. And then I looked at the US and I thought, well, it's the US and Mexico, which would be dope. But my real gripe there is that the Olympics the following year are also in the US. And it's like, like we've just been there, guys. We just did this. But otherwise, I think doing South America would be very cool because I don't believe we've had one in South America yet. So that'd be sick too. Europe's had quite a few. And yeah, like I said, my main issue with the US bid, the US Mexico bid, I should say, is that it's in the US.
That's fine.
Take from that what you will.
On the theme of me being old, me is also quite tired. So from a travel perspective, the Belgian, Netherlands and Germany bid does seem very appealing. Sitting on some trains, going between cities and venues. And of course they're on their one of the selling points being that none of the venues are more than 300 kilometers apart. That's like 3 hours. That's 3 hours in a car. So that's very appealing. But then part of me is just kind of like, screw UEFA. They get so much. And it's like, there's been so many there already that, yeah, I would also like to see go to Brazil. I'd love to go to South America. I'd have to, you know, drink a lot of energy drinks and to get myself up and about for the travel. But yeah, I think I've never been to South America before, so I think it'd be a great opportunity to get out to, for me personally, to get to another part of the world. And yeah, as you said, I think it's fantastic to take these major tournaments to places in the world that haven't had it before. And if you're looking at the boom of women's football around the world, where else do you want it to boom? You want it to boom in South America. So having the 27 World Cup there, I think, could do absolute wonders to just expand our wonderful game even more than it is at the moment.
Yeah. I think in terms of vibes, it definitely goes Brazil 1, Europe 2, US, Mexico 12.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention them.
Bids that have been removed will fit in between. I mean, as you said, the biggest thing for me, the biggest selling point for the European, the kind of pan, the low countries bid is the transport is just super, super easy. That's an hour and a half on a train, an hour on a train if you're really pushing it. All the stadia are in town because they're all old cities. Like the cities that they're looking at for the tournament, you're looking at some of the like most well-known cities in terms of football. You've got, you know, Amsterdam, Eindhoven, Rotterdam, Dortmund, Dusseldorf, Gelsenkirchen, where we had Tim Cahill's famous goal at the Men's World Cup. I think that'd be super, super easy. You know, you kind of, you know what you're getting in for, you know what you're getting into. Brazil though, like I have mates who went to the Brazil World Cup, the Men's World Cup, and it was otherworldly. My sister-in-law is Brazilian, and the stories that I have heard of the nightlife and the kind of beach, you know, we all know what it's like. Copacabana, Big Jesus, cold beers, caipirinhas, football on the beach. Do I need to say any more? The US and Mexico, sorry, Mexico, you're a lovely place, but the US just, you honk, go away. If it was just Mexico, I think that this would be I would be happy with all of them. Mexico has enough stadia and enough people to hold its own World Cup, especially with 32 teams. Like, you know, Mexico's a country of 180 million people. They've got more than enough stadiums to hold it on their own. It is obviously as you mentioned, Emma, you have the Men's World Cup in 2026, the Olympics, this World Cup in 27, and then the Olympics in 28 in LA, which I think is just, you know, they have enough stuff. Stop it. We need to stop giving the Americans things. And the other bad thing about it would be that America is full of Americans. And as anybody who's been to a tournament would know, Americans.
That's right. I hadn't thought about them because they were in New
Zealand.
They
go to the football.
They weren't in New
Zealand. So many of them were in Sydney, assuming.
So many of them were in Australia, yeah.
They were also in Brisbane.
Yeah. Remember they all missed out on the game. Remember they all missed out on the game in Melbourne because they came second in the group. One of the great World Cup stitch-ups. I would love Brazil.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think Brazil would be sick. The other thing, like, also, it's cheaper to get health insurance or travel insurance to go to Brazil than it is to go to the US.
Can you both be surprised and not surprised by a statement? Because, like, I'm like,
equal parts.
You've got more chance of getting shot in surprising. Brazil, but you've also got less medical costs. Look, it's an inversely proportionate cost. this is enough of Dale's sociopolitics.
I mean, I'm sure plenty of time to offend more countries before the pod is over. Oh, I'll
try my best. We've got 4 years until the tournament. I've got a long run up.
Yeah. My thought on the Belgium, Netherlands, Germany bid, it's like A-League's Unite round scaled up to a major tournament with everything that close together. If ever I was going to end up as an alcoholic, it's going to be after going to such a tournament because the availability of beer in those three countries.
Yeah. Especially Belgium. Like, they don't have much else going on culinarily.
Ooh, yeah, like, it's either beer or frites and mayo. And I'm like, well,
yeah, I was going to say,
Man can only have so much frites and mayo.
And that just
Emery's
going like,
to be on a winner. It's just potatoes.
Oh, goodness.
Love potatoes. My Irish heritage.
Oh, yes.
Potatoes, bring them out.
Potatoes, mayo.
Yep.
Good stuff.
It's also, I think of these
waffles.
Bids.
They've got waffles.
Oh, oh yes, they do have excellent waffles.
They've got breakfast and dinner covered.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I just drink nonstop between the two meals to cover that. Okay. Yep, that's my Belgium, Netherlands, Germany plan sorted.
And chocolate.
Oh, yes.
Belgium they all chocolate. Have chocolate. They all have good chocolate.
Actually.
Oh, Netherlands. What? Netherlands. Yeah. Oh, Netherlands. Yeah.
But also looking at this, from my own personal point of view, if I was traveling to such a World Cup, I have to learn enough of their local language, firstly, to explain that I am Australian, and then also to explain to the locals why I'm wearing an Ireland jersey. So I have extra challenges that other people don't have. But
Portuguese, silly language, don't know why it exists, do something. Three languages, four languages in the Netherlands and Belgium and Germany. Real phrasebook areas.
Yep. Also, I'm now reminded of a phrase I heard once. Portuguese sounds like a drunken Italian speaking Spanish. I don't know if that actually makes sense to people who've heard those two.
No, that checks out.
It checks out? Good. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany.
Although my last...
French, Dutch, and German. Is Flemish different to
Flemish
Dutch
is different again.
Oh. Yeah.
Flemish is
so five languages.
Yeah. That's too many languages.
That's
remove at least three.
Yeah,
I do just want to do a quick little ranking based on logos. And that does change things up a little bit. I think Brazil wins on logo. And then it's like that Belgian, Netherlands, Germany logo is all kinds of wrong.
It's it's as oddly enough, like there's multiple parties and they had to compromise, which is like Belgium's
absolutely
parliament.
A compromise logo. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yes. God. We've been talking for a lot, but there's always time to talk about the UEFA Women's Nations League, and more specifically, there's always time to laugh at England's misfortune. Oh. A 6-0 win over Scotland. They thought it was enough to keep their hopes of qualifying for the Olympics alive, but Netherlands' goal in the 95th minute to take them 4-0 up against Belgium means Netherlands pipped them on goal difference to the top of League A Group 1 by one goal. And so it's Netherlands, Germany, and Spain fighting for the right to qualify for the Paris Olympics. France also won their group, but of course they're the hosts, so they're already in. And yes, we might as well just go to offend all the countries right now. So yeah, England, they're so close, so close.
Oh, it's nice when stuff like this happens to teams that aren't mine. And like, if only it was a Dutch word, it'd be so much better. But the schadenfreude of it is fun. I think I find it funny with all the Australian groups. So many people, I guess, follow the WSL and love a lot of the English players. You'd be hard pressed to know that it was an Australian football group when this happened. But yeah, I mean, that's football. The UEFA qualification for the Olympics is very, very, very tough.
Oh, yes. Two for UEFA. Ooh, that's...
Yeah, yeah. So, it'll make for an interesting tournament. It would have been nice to sort of meet them again and beat them again like we did last time, but not to be.
And so I've got basically, I tried to summarize as best as I could the whole Women's Nations League, who got promoted, who got relegated, who's in the promotion relegation playoffs. By the way, shout out to League B, structured so that everyone is either promoted, relegated, or in a promotion relegation playoff. That sounds like the most stressful thing in the world. Also, Republic of Ireland, six goals against Northern Ireland, 6 wins from 6, and actually 1 goal for each of Northern Ireland's counties. That's right, 1 for Antrim, 1 for Armagh, 1 for Down, 1 for Fermanagh, 1 for Londonderry, and 1 for Tyrone. I enjoyed that very much. And if the Northern Irish don't like me speaking like this, they could always do what is right and join back with the Republic of Ireland and become one country the way God intended.
We are getting a cease and desist this week.
So, yeah, just from who? Who will snap and try and get this pod done? Who's coming for us first?
Have we gloated about Sweden not qualifying? Oh, we did that last
week. That one I was super shocked about. I was, yeah. They definitely... I feel bad because they knocked out the US and I feel like they, you know, more good things should come to them, but it is objectively funny that they yes. have won the last 2 silver medals and then now don't qualify.
There's
a lot going on in Swedish football at the moment.
They are simply never beating the always the bridesmaid, never the bride allegations. Yeah. Like they're never, never beating them.
They should hire an Australian coach, I think. Or a coach of an Australian team. It's just an idea. Eric, please tell me more. That?
I'm just thinking this, I mean, not likely to happen, but Sweden now in the promotion relegation playoffs, so possibly the only way this gets funny is if they somehow get relegated by one out of Hungary, Croatia, Serbia, or Bosnia and Herzegovina. But
yeah, I think there's...
You never know.
But now for their actual...
Unfortunately.
I have an actual question, because I haven't looked it up. But now for their actual qualification. So who's playing France? Has it been...
Oh, that draw is being done in a late... Well, it's December 11th, which is the date of recording, but European time. So,
okay.
So it'll be early tomorrow.
That by the next podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm just interested to see like what more chaos like France could just sow.
Well, it means that now they'll potentially have to have a third-fourth playoff.
Yeah, they'll have to be, you'd think.
Yeah, yeah, if front. If France wins their semi,
if France make the final, yeah, then yeah, they'll have to be a third, fourth playoff.
Yeah, okay. To decide the other Olympic qualifier. Yeah, and I mean it's been pretty chaotic so far. So that sounds like the kind of thing that would happen just to continue the theme of chaos in the Nations League. Skim over the international friendlies that I picked up. For New Zealand, they lost against Colombia. Nice to see Mackenzie Barry and Kate Taylor start for New Zealand for the first time. I suspect that's the first of many times those two will be in the same starting lineup. Now, Emma's waited patiently. Let's talk about the WSL. There's no point sugarcoating this. Arsenal 4, Chelsea 1. God, Emma, your smile could light up a whole continent. It is, in fact, at the moment.
Yeah, that game. I, for one, am very happy with those results. It was good. It was worth being awake at stupid o'clock in the morning to see that happen. Just excellent stuff. Just pure football. RIP and peace to Chelsea, but winning at the Emirates isn't for everyone. Record-breaking crowd as well. So really ticks all the boxes. It was very nice at the end of the first half, seeing the bench and being like, oh my God, this is so, like, we still have Kairu Cooney Cross to put on, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just so good. It was so nice. It was very different for me as well, you know, not fearing for my life and well-being going into a game against Chelsea. So, yeah, all around, just really good stuff. Steph Catley had a really good game, I thought, and also Beth Mead on her, I guess, still comeback sort of tour. Good to see her back on and scoring a beautiful goal as well. Cool. Yeah, great stuff.
So with Arsenal's first goal, there were a lot of touches in the box. Were you screaming at the screen, just shoot, please?
Yes. And praying that my screen, that was definitely a legally sourced stream, would hold up. Hmm. It didn't.
Yes.
But it's fine. Oh. It's fine. you win some, you lose some. Sometimes you don't get what you don't pay for. It's whatever.
Yeah. You've got the glow of happiness after trouncing your local rivals. That's the main thing. They're each same level on points now with Chelsea at the
yes,
top of the
WSL, Chelsea with yes. goal difference.
They made Emma Hayes roll her eyes mid-game.
Ooh, ooh, those are some top quality facial expressions.
Yeah, illustrates Heather. She was just like, okay, I'll be in the change rooms.
I will see you guys soon.
I'll be back. I'm going to get a tea.
So, unlike the way Chelsea normally defend, Illestet, who basically got very noticed in the World Cup for being a tall woman who heads the ball in from the edge of the six-yard box, and then Chelsea just let her be a tall woman heading it in from the edge of the six-yard box, while Anne Katchenberger was chasing who knows what, but from that corner kick, but... Yeah,
Berger had an absolute shocker in this game. That corner was horribly bad. And then the penalty that she gave up in the second half was just comical.
Look, I'll give Chelsea that. I don't think there really was that much in that penalty call to me. But if the referee wanted to, you know, give back to Leah Valti for getting her foot stomped on by Lauren James just out of essentially nowhere, that's fine by me. Who am I to say no to her? But the pen was nothing to me. To me. I'm not mad about it, though.
That's important.
Unlike the other Arsenal fans who, are very angry about that particular. It got a yellow card, didn't it?
It did get. I wasn't mad about the penalty being awarded. That the stepping was not great. Not a good look. Oh, it's starting to become a bit of a pattern.
I feel like this might
become James.
Might be a behavior.
And it's no good. It's just no good.
You can't step on people.
No, and she's such a good player. She shouldn't. She shouldn't be resorting to these kinds of things. She can run circles around anyone on her day, and it pretty much just wasn't their day yesterday.
We on the show are big fans of the dark arts, and I am always one to excuse it, but like there's a, it's not even like there's a fine line. It's like you've got to know when to do it. You can't like step on somebody after he's been whistled dead with the ref 10 yards away from you. Like you step on someone's foot at a corner, it's not, you know, it's just match awareness. But you know, she, as I said, she's definitely, she loses her head a little bit sometimes, and I can understand why she did it. But yeah, I'm not going to go down the hole. She's not that kind of player. But yeah, it's just a bit of a brain fart. This thing.
Yeah, so it's the last of that kind of stuff. So also a record crowd. Oh yeah, a new WSL attendance record for this game, which is, I mean, it's really the kind of fixture you'd expect to have the WSL attendance record, and breaking the record Arsenal set in round one of the season against Liverpool. So yeah, that's good to see. Of course, England riding the wave, not just the World Cup, but the Euros from last year. So plenty of good signs for the WSL. Also, was particularly amused by an Emma Hayes quote in the post-match presser. She said, "The best team by a country mile won today. They dominated us in every aspect. We were bullied." She was then asked if there were any positives, and Emma said, "I've only got a 20-minute drive home." Like, well, you've got to find the positives where you have them.
Yep.
Elsewhere in the WSL,
going to a new job, so I think she does not care.
Yeah, she's a little bit off on the pitch.
Don't write those handover notes, Emma. It's fine.
Yeah, if anything, this actually bodes well for the Matildas at large, because if this is the way she's coaching and then she's going to the US, well, if she wants to keep up this form, I can't say I'd be mad about it.
I, for one, await the downfall of the American football empire.
With bated breath.
Yeah. That's like what we were talking about earlier. The best time for American football to have a downfall is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Next time is now. Also, just one more thing about Arsenal-Chelsea. It's pronounced Kyra Cooney-Cross, not Kira. Please get it right. Elsewhere, I hope Elizabeth Turlin's back is okay after carrying Brighton and Hove Albion. I think she scored 70% of their goals this season. So, and two more to rescue a point against Leicester. Also, Dale, any particularly strong thoughts on Everton's win over West Ham? Did you catch much of it?
Good to see Claire Wheeler get 90 minutes in the middle of the park this week.
Her real position.
Yeah, they've gone away from her playing at right fullback either side fullback, to be honest. I think they put Tony Duggan on the wing this week, and she's got a bit of toe about her, so that's probably a little bit of a better option. It was a decent performance. No Mackenzie Arnold for West Ham this week, which was a bit of a bummer, but can't complain with an away win. They're few and far between. The other team that I think worth mentioning this week is Spurs, who followed up, "We're really sorry for losing 7-0 by losing 4-0 at home. Always a good sign when your next game is in front of 70,000 people against Arsenal. Good luck to them, I say. Their next game is at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against Arsenal.
I did check their socials to see if they made another statement. Yeah. Similar to the one against Arsenal.
We're working on it.
They had not, but they are just... Yeah. Ooh, that's exactly the worst time for Spurs to hit a downturn of form. Also, back to West Ham Everton. West Ham losing the kind of game that I feel like it feels like they lose 50 times a year, where they have like 20 chances and lose one at home. It feels like I see that 3 times a week from West Ham. Thoughts and prayers to Angela Christian Wilkes. Now, if the Aussies Abroad stuff is incomplete by the time this is published, it's because I ran out. It's like because I didn't find time to do it. Apologies again. But also, before we get to Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week, I was highly amused by the score lines in Denmark's league. 4 games, 2 goals, 2 1-nil wins, 2-0 all draws. So one for the
kind of football that you stay up for, man.
Yeah, that's well. I mean, if one of those games is a 1-0 win for Matilda McNamara's AGF and it ensures they avoid the promotion relegation playoffs, which is what they did not do in the last two seasons. Great for them. AGF having a great season, and now maybe they can. I mean, I think third is still relatively realistic for them, but that's a question for after the summer.
This feels also, like, indicative of the type of football that you get when you're going into depths of winter in Scandinavia. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody's playing in tights. Everybody's playing on an AstroTurf. Some of the games are inside. Nobody wants to be there.
It doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah. And then I remember going to Iceland a number of years ago and seeing the young kids play outside and being like, no, I'm going to go inside into the heated football pitch. Goodbye.
I think I remember seeing a clip once of players like having to like slide over ice in there.
Oh, that's Norway, I think. Yeah.
The
gap between the stand and the pitch had frozen over, and it was like, they're all wearing studs. What do we do? All right, on our backs, slide down.
You're
the ice.
Skiers, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
shades of the Lidcombe Oval Velodrome. Yes.
We are just
pushing people into the snow. I always love when the European leagues put out, they're like, oh, it's winter, how fun. And it's just like players throwing snowballs at each other and people building snow people in the stand. It's very cute. And then you're like, oh, it's like this for 4 months of the year in Sweden.
Yeah, because it's Denmark's league. They got one more round after this and then they don't play until March, which, to your point, they are.
At least they don't see the sun until March. So, like, I think this is a fair assessment.
They're all getting inside with their vitamin D lamps.
Yeah, they're going to have their fun UVB lamps, so they don't. Well, you know, that's why Scandinavians are so tanned, because there's no UV up there.
Yeah. So for Matilda McNamara, plenty of time to work on a degree. I think she's studying while she's up there. Well, she's got plenty of time to get ahead before the season restarts. Are we ready for Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week? Yep, thumbs up. Okay, so first there were a couple of jokers. We want to brush just over this. We don't want to give these people too much airtime, but yeah, lots of you would have seen misogynistic comments that went viral. Please don't engage with content of this nature, but just I wanted to read out a tweet from A-League's commentator, Taryn Heddo. As a woman or anyone working in sports broadcasting, I promise that you don't need to justify yourself to randoms on the internet. Be at peace with the work you do, let your loved ones be proud of you, and let your employer employ you. They're the only people that matter. Hear, hear. Then my other joker, the A-Leagues, they need to do more fact-checking before posting. They've drawn my ire for continually not being able to spell Philippines properly, putangina kayo, but the reason they're in this week is a tweet that has now been deleted saying Hannah Wilkinson, talking about Hannah Wilkinson's reflection on scoring New Zealand's first ever goal at World Cup with one slight problem. It is not their first. That her goal against Norway was not their first goal at a World Cup. It is not even Hannah Wilkinson's first goal at a World Cup. So, yes. And corrections from Kieran Yap talking about the importance of official counts getting this right when there are a lot of new fans to the sport. And also Megan saying, so many talented people would absolutely love to work within the footballing space. Instead, we have accounts getting away with irresponsibly posting inaccurate and disrespectful content to their 28,000 followers. But the tweet's deleted now, so that's something. Anyway, enough about them.
I mean, I think a lot of people say these kind of things and they go, oh, you know, it's not that deep. But like, would the NRL get away with this? Would the AFL get away with this?
No.
Would the Premier League get away with this? Would the NFL get away with it? No, they would. Like, there's a whole thing about, like, you know, not to be cross-sport, but like, oh, is LeBron James the greatest NBA player of all time? He holds the scoring record. But like, if they went off early on his scoring record, like, can you imagine the feathers that would fly from that? But like, it's the same kind of thing with this. We have to keep these things accountable, and they have to do better. It's not, you know, it's human error. I understand that, but let's work. Let's put this as a development area.
Yes. Yes, what some people would call an opportunity for improvement.
Yes.
So yes, yes.
There how are do we make your weakness into there. A strength?
Ah, yes, etc. Sounds like lots of conversations I've had in the course of my life. Anyway, moving on. And then a queen of the week from all of us and basically the entire Aussie WOSO fan base. Matilda's legend, former captain Cheryl Salisbury, inducted into the Sydney Cricket Ground Hall of Fame as Her alongside Graham Arnold, the first football life members of the Sydney Cricket Ground. So Cheryl Salisbury, she's done so much. Dale and I like to refer to Newcastle's home ground, number two sports ground, as Cheryl Salisbury Field in her honour. So it's, we no such thing as honouring her too much. Now, Madge, I think you can go next. Who have you selected this week?
Oh, look, I've selected, but I'm pretty sure this is from absolutely everyone with anything to do. Not just in Australian football, but women's football all around the world is, a big shout out to Anne O'Dong being awarded the inaugural Grant Wild Memorial Award as part of the WICC's Best 11. I believe this is the first time these awards have been given, but just Anne getting all the flowers that she deserves. An absolute legend of the game here. The game absolutely wouldn't have progressed in the public consciousness the way that it has without her tireless work over many, many, many years. And not only just her tireless work, but bringing so many people along on that journey with her as well. So couldn't think of anyone better to be lauded in this way. So just huge, huge congratulations from everyone.
Yes. Very well said. She's given Emma and myself opportunities, and particularly for myself, when at the time I had a social media profile that was mainly focused on the NPL New South Wales men's competition, which is could have been an interesting decision, but forever grateful to Anne. And yes, for the newer fans, that World Cup in Australia and New Zealand you enjoyed, she was more than anyone else the reason Australia and New Zealand hosted that World Cup by leading a very successful bid. Also, there's so many queens. Just quickly, Lockie, friend of the pod, Lockie, has nominated something from, wait for it, the world of college soccer in the US. What a shock. But Queensland's Georgia Martell made 18 saves in one game to help the University of the Cumberlands win the NAIA Championship. So 18 saves for a goalkeeper. Great stuff. And now, Emma, yours is very predictable, your choice, but please talk about it again.
So my queens of the week are the Arsenal Women's Football Club, because that performance was stunning. It was everything to write home about and more. It was just like a complete team performance. Everyone on the pitch was doing what they had to do when they had to do it. Just an excellent game. Like, I already want to rewatch it, and I don't think it's even been 24 hours since it happened.
No, it has not. You're right. And I imagine to non-Chelsea WSL fans, Chelsea feel like the evil empire in Star Wars. So to win 4-1 over them, molto bene. Dale, you've got an equally predictable choice, but also very good.
My queen of the week is Vesna Milivojevic. Could go on to be the best non-Matilda Australian football has ever produced. Fantastic performance this weekend. I don't think that I can say enough. She was a terrier in defence and a freak in attack. I was thoroughly impressed watching her play. A solid performance, you know, for the whole time that she was on the pitch. And as we mentioned previously, thoughts with her as she undergoes what appears to be some injury rehab, but more on that as it comes to hand.
We'll be quick to update you once we get clarification on that, but best hopefully it's not too bad for Vesna, because she has been brilliant ever since joining Canberra United. Also, my choice, back to my beloved UEFA Women's Nations League. Big shout out to the Maltese national team. They won their group in League C, so history for them there. Earned promotion to the second tier, League B, for the first time. Undefeated group stage, and they only needed a draw in their final game against Latvia. They made it difficult for themselves, falling behind, but then 2 second half goals. And so Malta will be in League B with nations like Scotland and Switzerland, who have recently been to World Cups. Isn't that something? So it's been a lot of podcasts, and I think we've offended enough people for this week. Is there anything else to add? Nope. Okay. So On behalf of Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Del Roots, this is Eric Subihano signing off for episode 177 of the Beyond 90 podcast, wishing you plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, razzlers, and let's hope lawyers stay away from your front door. See you next week.